are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. At times such as we are facing now, many people are struggling as they try to cope with the uncertainty and potentially and probably very difficult times ahead. While certainly having concerns, those of us with many decades of living under our belts may have a different reaction as our years of navigating through other crises have equipped us with wisdom and strength to face this current crisis more confidently. Rather than resenting the reality of growing older, we recognize the value of our years, and like many biblical examples that we read about through the Old and New Testament, we find ways to live with purpose and passion. But this doesn't mean that we're not going to have those fiery darts of fear and anxiety and all the trepidations that come along with this current virus and current world situations that we're going to face. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee, Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. I invite you to grab your cup of coffee, grab the notepad, because you're going to take many notes today. I know that you will. My name is Kim Crable, your host, and I'm excited about this show because today we're going to talk about the fears of what's going on around us, the fears of aging, and we're going to bring hope into the conversation. And boy, do we have the perfect person, such a woman of wisdom, to guide us through today's conversation. Our guest is my friend and someone who's very well known in the Baltimore area, Dr. Charlotte Eliopoulos. She joins us today to share what is going on not only in our area, but not only in our nation, but what's going on in our hearts, the things that are percolating in our hearts that we're maybe not even sure what to do with. Dr. Charlotte holds many degrees in nursing and public health administration from Johns Hopkins University. She's had a successful career in geriatrics and long-term care, consulting internationally and writing several books on those areas. Lately, she has been focusing on issues pertaining to women at midlife and beyond to inspire them to carve out lives of purpose and passion. Among her books is Women of Fire, Living with Purpose and Passion, Midlife and Beyond. She lives not too far from me. I'm in Baltimore. She lives in Glen Arm, Maryland, with her husband and what she can do. This is just makes me smile. Her arrogant feeling, Callie, I think is her name. When not presenting workshops, consulting, or writing her own work, she helps others express their thoughts and writing through Writing Hearts, a nonprofit organization she has started. So I'm just going to go ahead and welcome right onto the show my friend Charlotte. Welcome, and thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join us for an hour on today's coffee show.
Oh, thank you, Kim. It's a delight to be here and to be part of this, particularly at this time.
Well, that's right. Well, Charlotte, would you have ever even thought that something in our world, I mean, we couldn't even predicted this, could we?
Oh, my. I don't think anybody would have anticipated this, both in terms of the general public and health professionals. Nothing really prepared us for this or, helped us in terms of how you navigate these waters. So we are walking in some very uncertain times.
We really are. I just did, I do a morning devotional each day on my Facebook page, Alive, and we're walking this week through the Holy Week, and the hope to me, as I expounded upon it with scripture this morning, is that while everything is so chaotic and everything is so different, there is one thing that remains the same, and that is Christ and his principles and his hope. And while we talk about today this fear of aging, the fear of what's going on around us for men and women and teens, to really be able to give that hope, because I know that your faith is very important to you. And so as we face the realities of what's going on around us and the statistics, what a calming effect it is to be able to come back and say, but God is still in control, and he is going to get us through this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it demonstrates this mystery of life, you know, that we have to depend on God, and we don't know what plans he has. This is when we have to walk in faith and really trust. So it is a challenge, and it is assurance and really some reinforcement of our faith. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I don't know, but I feel like I've been a believer since I was 12 years old. I've been active in ministry for a good 25 years. And I find myself every night, Charlotte, just saying, God, just draw me closer to you. You know, the Bible tells us that in his perfect love, there is no fear. And, you know, I just keep, you know, draw me closer to you. And I think that that's one thing that's really been hopeful during all this. I think that we're really realizing that many of the things that we found as security was just a false security in many ways, that at any moment, at any time, our world can fall apart. But our hope is that we have the one who knows how to put it back together. So let's get started. I know that you have so much information to share with us today. You know, before we get started on the discussion, I see where you're actively involved in the Baltimore City Council helping manage this coronavirus outbreak in the long-term facility. So, well, you've really been busy doing that. Give us a picture of what that looks like.
Oh, I'm helping them consult about what the needs are of both the senior population and particularly the long-term care facilities, because, again, most long-term care facilities aren't prepared to be taking care of very complex intensive care level patients. And now we're finding hospitals are overflowing. They can't handle it. They need to find beds in other settings to put patients. Staff in long-term care settings are being challenged to learn new skills, to take in new patients, to care for the very vulnerable population that they care for. And again, we've never, ever had anything like this before. So I give these people credit. I mean, they work under difficult situations, challenging work, unappreciated work in long-term care, nursing homes and assisted living settings under the best circumstances. And now they're being called and challenged to do things way off the radar screen for them. And my heart goes out to them. Prayers go out to them. We really have to admire them stepping up to the plate and going in there every day and caring for the most vulnerable parts of our population during this critical time, as well as opening their arms to the people who have acquired this infection and starting to take care of patients that they've never taken care of before. So it is challenging at this time. New territory for a lot of people.
Absolutely. But when I think about it and I look at how you have equipped yourself, it's almost as if you have been preparing for such a time as this for so long, because your work and your heart, your interests lie with the older adults. And so in the midst of these challenging times, which is causing all of us to have fear, quite honestly, can I just tell you, I always kind of felt myself as, I always thought, well, hey, I'm young, and I'm, you know, well, then when they start coming out with it, you older people, 60 and everybody,
yeah.
Wait a minute, because I'm 62. It's like, what? Wait a minute, you just threw me in an arena I'm not happy about. But you know, in reality, I guess I am entering a new season in my life. But, you know, when we face that in the midst of these challenges times, many of us, whether we're younger or older or teens, are facing fears and anxiety. So how do these fears, what are you seeing in this older generation, the more mature generation, these fears? How are those being manifested?
You know, we're seeing, and I think you hit it on the head, a lot of us, particularly the boomer generation, never thought of ourselves as old. At middle age, we never thought of ourselves as middle age, and we never think of ourselves as little old ladies. And I know I get a little shocked when in a grocery store, you know, a clerk will say, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And it's like, "Ma'am, I'm not an old lady." And then I sit back and say, "Well, I guess technically I am." So many of us, this is new territory. And, you know, we haven't thought much about it, you know, and here we are now suddenly being called older adults and seniors. And we live in a society, unfortunately, where ageism is prevalent, where even though we're very capable and interesting people and active people, we're in a society where there are these subtle messages and sometimes not so subtle messages that we're kind of, you know, incapable or need to be put out the pasture. Or when you look at how older adults are portrayed in the media, sometimes they're confused or slow or matronly looking or incompetent. And I sit back and I say, in reality, when you look at real-life examples, you've got people who are beautiful and highly competent. And, you know, people like, look at Ruth Ginsburg, 85 years old, and Hillary Clinton, 72, and Morgan Freeman, 81, Al Pacino, 78, Barbara Walters, 89. And it goes on and on with these older adults who are out there doing some powerful things, being very competent. In our current coronavirus crisis, we see Dr. Deborah Birx, who is chairing the task force, and she's 63 years old. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top expert on infections, doing a great job at age 80. And then, of course, we've got presidential candidates who are all over age 70. So in reality, we're seeing some wonderful examples of the ability of older people to be active, to contribute, to be very powerful, but yet we work with this anxiety because of this subtle message that kind of permeates our society. You know, kind of sad that we do that.
Yes, it makes us feel so vulnerable. I mean, I it was really like a lightning that hit me, that struck me when I first read that. I mean, I truly had to stop and think about that, because like you just said, I feel I'm very active. Thank God I've been healthy. You know, we work long days, but there was something, there was a shift that had to take place in my thinking, that I think that most people are right now. I think the young people and the way they look at their parents, and the way as a woman, a man, as we relate independently in our marriages, you know, to really stop and face that and really know how to navigate that with hope, because you've just given us a lot of hope, and it makes me feel so much better as I was thinking about that there's still a lot of life to live. And despite what is being said out there, that I get to choose how I'm going to finish and finish strong. You mentioned something that I would like to dive into a little bit. You talked about the seasons of life. I would like for you to explain what that means, but I also want to tell our audience, because I forgot to mention this, to our audience out there, in the last part of this show, after our commercial, our 30-second commercial in about 20 minutes, I'd invite you to call in if you have a question for Dr. Charlotte. It's 347-324-5246, 347-324-5246. Press 1, and we will bring you on to ask any question about fear, aging, or any of the things that we're about to talk about. So let's go on and talk about this. What do you mean when you talk about the seasons of life, and how does that affect us, especially in this time?
Well, you know, there are seasons are a natural process, as we know, and there are different characteristics, different benefits, different patterns in each of the seasons that we see all around us. And it's very similar with aging being a natural process. We go through various seasons. You know, you look at our early life from birth to early adulthood, which is kind of like the spring and a new beginning, a sprouting, where we develop our individual selves and our personalities, and we learn to develop and sustain relationships. We start to leave our families, leave our parents' home, and maybe begin our own home, our own family, begin careers. We then move into that early adulthood to midlife period, which is kind of summer, that period of growth and productivity we're so busy doing. We establish mm-hmm. a lifestyle, build our careers, raise our families, do all these things that keep us busy. We may start to question at that time earlier life choices. Like sometimes marriages get on shaky ground because we sit and say, geez, you know, I'm in my 40s now, and do I really like this person who at 18 I thought I was so in love with, you know? We quite mm-hmm. may question mm-hmm. our careers and our lifestyle as we start to hit midlife and beyond. And then from midlife to our early 60s, the fall of our life, we start reaping everything we've planted. We start mm-hmm. to make some major life changes. And again, this is another time where we see divorce rates start to increase or marriages start to go through some troubled waters. Careers, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes people will change careers at this point and set new goals for themselves. We find that we establish a grandparent role. And Kim, you're familiar with this as a new grandparent.
Yes, I am.
and then we face caregiving. And we used to hear the term sandwich generation, you know, that was used for a lot of women who cared for parents at the same time they had kids at home. And now what we're seeing is more of a club sandwich generation, where women at this point in life may be caring, and men too. Let me say there are a number of male caregivers too. Women outnumber them, but their men do are stepping up to the plate. But they're caring for parents, sometimes grandparents, as well as children and adult children who are moving back home with their children. So we see mm-hmm. multiple generations who we're providing some caregiving for. And we may want to reinvent ourselves and be freer and have more time of our own, have some healthy selfishness at this point. And sometimes that's mm-hmm. challenging with all the other demands that are faced. And then we get to that winter season beyond age 60. And too often we think of this season as being negative, as nothing positive can come out of it. And it can be a time for resting, reflecting, laying a foundation for others, and finding new forms of purpose and productivity, maybe in a quieter, more conservative way. And, you know, we do find meaningful roles. Our generation's charting very different courses from our parents' generation at this point of life. You know, we're not buying into just retire and sit back and do nothing. We're realizing right. we do have something to contribute. And, you know, we trust ourselves more and author our own lives more. And you also feel more secure managing our own life. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. interesting because research shows that when you look at happiness throughout all the different stages of life, they find it's a U-curve, that early in life, you know, it's high. You know, lots of happiness when we're young, lots of new stuff going on. And then around midlife, it kind of dips. And we feel less happiness. And then in the later years, it increases again. And we start to see it perk up. It's kind of a new energy to this later season. You know, I remember Margaret Mead referred to this kind of season of life as the PMZ, postmenopausal zest. And we need to start thinking
kind of like
a classic car. We may not have the appearance of today's models, but we do have a classic look, and we have something about us that is precious and valuable that we need to appreciate.
Mm. Yeah, the wisdom that we've gained through all those years is amazing, and I think that we forget, and I, like you were talking about, it's so easy for generations to forget the value of the more mature, the older generation, and, you know, that's a call maybe for this younger generation to look around and think about, you know, what they could really learn. One of the things that I've heard was one of the things that I read a few years ago is that one of the main reasons that the empty nest syndrome has declined a little bit is because of what you just said. As women and as men, we've been tucking in our minds things that we're making this list that we're going to do once the kids are out to college or, you know, we have things to do. We have these things that we want to accomplish, and maybe that's one of the reasons why that dip sways upward a little bit, because we do kind of come into a new way of representing ourselves and doing new things because we have the time to do it.
We do. And we feel more confidence, and we're not, our generation really isn't fitting into molds. And we also have better health. Let me say that we are aging in healthier states than previous generations did. And that's a wonderful blessing that we have, certainly.
Yes. Well, in all this, Charlotte, let me just talk to, let's come back to today. And, you know, we're talking about the depths of unhappiness or the loss of joy or questioning. You know, there are a lot of people right there, right now. There are a lot of people, and I've been in my ministry and working with people all across the nation and beyond. I'm getting calls around the clock of marriages falling apart. Depression is beginning to be at its all-time high. The statistics of 911 calls with domestic violence have gone up roughly 22% in the last few weeks. So we're in that dip. And I believe that so much of that, but I want to ask you, it's so fear-driven right now. And so to the community of the audience that are listening right now, or to anyone who would like to call in with a question on this, how do we, would you suggest that we begin to navigate this enemy called fear to as we walk through these next few weeks?
You know, I think it's helpful that we sit back and take stock and reflect on our lives, because most of us have really gone through and overcome some interesting challenges in our life. I mean, all kinds of challenges, be it widowhood, death of a child, losing a job, going bankrupt, you know, having major illness ourselves, you know, you name it, and we've gone through it. And we've survived it. Sometimes we don't appreciate all that we have gone through and all the skills that we've gained in that process. We kind of take it for granted and go about life. But when you sit and think about it, it's like, oh, my goodness, yeah, I remember when at that time I just wondered how I was going to put one foot in front of the other. And then you sit back and say, no, I made it through that, and I came out better and stronger and so on. And I think we need to remember that and give ourselves some reassurance during this time, as well as share that with others. I think it's helpful for, you know, for instance, you know, me as an older woman to be able to sit and talk to younger women about, yeah, you know, there are times in marriage that you look at that man and you wonder, is this really what I want? Or, you know, he gets frustrated because he's got so many pressures on him and he lashes out of desperation. You know, I think they need to hear the experiences and how we've weathered some of those storms. You know, the unfortunate thing is there are less opportunities for generations to share among between themselves. You know, when I was a kid, I was raised in Baltimore City and in a little, you know, in a row home community. And in the evenings, my mother and the ladies would sit out in the backyard and, you know, have snacks and talk. And I'd hear them, and I'd hear them talk about their problems and experiences that they've had. And it gave me some insight, and it gave me some lessons. They had no idea of how much they were teaching through that. Today, you know, you look at families when they're together and everybody's looking at their palm, at the phone in their palm, and you don't have that intergenerational exchange the same way. And I think it would be so helpful, particularly now, for some of us who have had some life experience under our belt, to sit and say, you know, yeah, this is tough. It's a tough time, but you can make it through this, and we've made it through other tough times, and here are some of the things you can rely on, you know, be it prayer, be it your knowledge, be it your relationships, and to help people make it through that way. And to share our weaknesses, you know. I know when I became a Christian, and I became a Christian, you know, once I was an adult, I didn't grow up that way. And I know that I, at first, was very reluctant to share things about my past, like divorce and stuff like that, because I thought, oh, my goodness, all these squeaky clean people, how will they look at me if they knew that I'd done all these awful, sinful things? And I then got the courage to share it. And I found that it opened up, and other people were able to say, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad to hear that, because I'm struggling with this issue, too, and let's talk about it. And I think we need to show some of our warts and help people understand that, yeah, you know, we're Christians, but we've had lives that haven't necessarily been perfect. And we've been there, and the Lord has gotten us through it, and let's talk about how this can work with you, too. I do think we have, as seasoned women and men, the ability to serve other generations that way.
I just love that. It is that reminds me of the scripture in Psalms where it talks about our words can become hope to the next generation. And and everything you've said, as you know, we're very involved in the coffee ministry that we're involved in, and that is to bring people of all generations together to be able to talk. Because I so believe in everything that you're saying. It's that those conversations of vulnerability, of yes, the strengths and the God stories, that the things that we've gotten through. But I love that you also add the weaknesses and the failures and the flaws. And when you think about it, that's how we really find peace in our flaws and in the things that have happened to us. When we can put a purpose to the pain, then that really does shed the shame, guilt, and regret, because we realize that God can pick up the broken pieces, and maybe it can help someone else from falling down and being broken in the same way, or even if they have, to be a comfort to them. It makes me think of the scripture of 2 Corinthians 1:4, where we are told that we are to comfort, that we are to comfort others with the same comfort that God has given to us. And and that's what we are trying to do today. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a 30-second commercial break. And then when we come back, gosh, there's been so much wisdom and so many things that you've talked about so much. And I'm trying to decide where we want to go. I know the first thing I'm going to do is open up the lines for any callers that would like to call in. And again, caller, if you're out there and if you have a question, the number is 347-324-4646. Be sure and press 1. Many people say, I couldn't get through, but you have to press 1 for us to know that you want to come through with a question. It could be about you. It could be about a struggling relationship. It could be about your marriage, your teen, anything that you have a question on, please feel free to call in. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about something that Charlotte has just interjected into the conversation, her strong faith. How does faith play into today's coronavirus, especially with this being the Holy Week? And how can we use that to send hope not only to the ones outside in our world, but also into our own hearts and to our own homes? So thank you again, Charlotte, for being with us. And if you'll just hold on, we're going to be back in 30 seconds and continue this incredible conversation. Be right back, listeners, in 30 seconds.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee, Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. We are so delighted that you joined us today. Our special guest is Dr. Charlotte Iliopoulos, and Charlotte is working in our area, the Baltimore area, helping with this coronavirus and the things that are going on with the aging in the aging community. But she's also here today to talk about, even beyond the coronavirus, how we can deal with the fears, the different seasons of our lives, and how we can understand that in each season that God definitely has a work and a purpose for us, and that even as we age, that maybe even that purpose intensifies because of the knowledge and the wisdom that we've gained, because of the God story of the crisis that we have faced, and through Him and with the help of others that we've been able to stand strong. And really, isn't that what we all want to do? We want to be able to stand in the presence of whatever is around us and know how to handle them with godly wisdom within ourselves, but to help others get through that so that we can all finish strong. So we're going to continue this conversation. I'd just like to remind you before we get back that if you would like to know more about the ministry that we're involved in, you can go to our website at kimcrable.org, kimcrable.org. We'd love to be able to share with you how we glorify God by helping others find the purpose of their lives and the power, really, of their story that Charlotte has been talking to us about. So you can visit our website. You can also visit our Facebook page where we do daily lives, daily postings, different things to encourage and equip, and that's at www.facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. Also, would like to invite you to check out Inspiration TV or NRV TV, where our programs, Coffee with Kim and also the Burdens of Blessings Transformation Message, have now turned into a talking series that you can participate in as well. So let's get back to this conversation, Aging Without Fear. This is a message for men and women of all ages. So welcome back, Charlotte, and thank you again for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
So let's go into, we talked about, and thinking about the seasons of the life and things and the fear that we've talked about so far, is there anything that you would like to add to that before we go into how does our faith play into this? And I think that's so important now.
No, we can move ahead with that.
Okay, let's move right on then. How does being a Christian influence where we are today? How should that be making a difference? And, you know, what are some special responsibilities that come with being a believer in the age and where we are today?
You know, we have to remind ourselves that as Christians that we have a perspective that goes beyond the secular and sometimes the superficial models that we see promoted out there in the media on Madison Avenue and so on. We've been given spiritual gifts and talents and connection to something much larger than ourselves. And we need to really sit back and think about that and everything that goes along with that. We also have responsibilities to use those gifts and talents and to serve with purpose, not just to sit back and take it easy and so on. You know, I'm encouraged when I look at biblical examples and as a woman looking at women in the Bible and things that, you know, they've overcome and the leadership some of them demonstrated that we sometimes don't hear as much about. You know, we hear about Sarah, who, you know, at age 90 becomes a mother of a nation and ancestor of Jesus. And, you know, Deborah, a female judge who had these special abilities as a counselor and advisor and so on, a prophetess. Naomi, who, despite the grief and hardships from being a widow, gave great guidance and advice to her daughters-in-law and probably foreshadowed Paul's teaching that widows should continue serving until they're unable to care for themselves. He says that in 1 Timothy. You have Anna, and because she was an elder, she was actually, her prophecies carried some extra weight. Priscilla, who had a ministry with her husband and used her home for evangelism, as well as working in a tent-making business with her husband. You know, Lois, Timothy's grandmother, who communicated that strong faith to her grandson and contributed really to him becoming a missionary and pastor. And then, of course, we got the wife of noble character who was a woman of faith and concerned for the poor and respected her spouse and a good money manager and entrepreneur. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful example. So we do have some powerful examples in our Christian history. And, of course, there were many older men who did special things, too. It's just that I feel we don't many times hear as much about the women. So that when we seriously think about it, we can see that we share similar traits to some of those elders in the Bible, and we need to appreciate that. Particularly at a time like this, our life experiences in navigating those problems and crises and the skills and talents we've gained along the way give us a strength that can set an example and serve others during a crisis like we face right now. We really can use that in a powerful way.
I see that, and I will just tell you, you know, when you mention all these incredible people of the Bible, and it's so true, and none of them were perfect. We know that, and I love that part about the Bible where God is very specific in talking about their flaws and how they failed, and I think that's so amazing. But still, in all of that, it's so overwhelming to me, and it used to be even more so. This is so overwhelming that we can even begin to cower under the pressure. It's like, oh my, but I'm not a Deborah. I'm not an Anna. I'm not, you know, and it's just so if I'm a listener out there and I'm thinking, yeah, but those are like biblical people. I don't get it. How do I find myself in the midst of this fear that I'm facing? You know, what would you say to them? And they're just, because this is a time when we're feeling a little bit lost. We're mm-hmm. in our homes. The loneliness is starting to wrap itself around us. And, of course, we all know that our minds is the enemy's playground, right? He wants to throw things at us, the same old things, the sense of being unworthy, messed up too badly. Life is over. You should have enjoyed life when it was better. You know, you should have saved more money while you could. You know, all of these things are coming at us. And we know that these probably had to be the same things that many of these people that you just talked about, they had to overcome that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're just someone who's in their home, man or woman or teen, and they don't even know how to articulate how they're feeling. They don't even can't even form the question right now. And what is our hope in a time for such as this?
Yeah, and sometimes it's just the matter, and I don't mean to minimize it, but sitting back and praying and listening and not feeling like we have to solve it all ourselves. That sometimes
that.
We can be guided in some ways that we can't begin to imagine, that, you know, people are put in our path or situations come in our path that, you know, we can't, that are beyond our control in terms of how they came about. And I think we have to trust that and turn to the Lord. I think we reach out to others during this time, too. And reach out in terms of not only getting our own selves, our own spirits and minds and so on fed, but also in terms of looking at how we can serve others and touch others' lives. And often doing that will really help us and make us feel more significant.
I love that, you know, and it makes me think of the picture of Jesus right after he found that John the Baptist, his cousin, his beloved friend and cousin, had been beheaded. He goes out into the wilderness to be alone when he runs into the masses of people. And what did he do? But he began serving them. He began his greatest miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 men plus their wives and children. So I think that there's something to that, Charlotte, being able to get out beyond our own head and thinking. So how do we do that in a time, you know, where we can't really go outside our homes? How can we serve others right now?
It can be a matter of picking up the phone and calling somebody you haven't talked to for a while. It can be putting the word out. Are there prayer needs that anybody has? And what I have been so amazed with lately is people who I've known who perhaps haven't had particularly strong faith do seek prayer at this time, do realize that we are in a desperate, different kind of situation and, you know, are reaching out and a wonderful opportunity to show God's love and to show another side to Christianity that might invite people in and, you know, give them that hunger to know more about the Lord if they don't know right now. So I do think there are ways that we from our own homes that we can reach out and serve, you know, talking with our family members, just keeping in touch, letting them know we're okay, doing the best we can to take care of ourselves so that they're not worried all the time about, geez, you're there alone. Do you have food? You know, are you okay? To trust, you know, so they can trust that, yeah, we have things under control. And not being afraid to reach out when we are hitting the pits emotionally, when that time of the day when we're just like, oh my goodness, it's feeling overwhelming, and you pick up the phone and you call that trusted friend and you spill it out and you feel secure doing that. You know that it's not making you look weak. It's making you look human to a brother or sister in Christ to reach out and do that. And that's the way we are there to serve each other.
I love that. You gave so many incredible examples right there. And I think that many times that we are so fearful to call other people, even to check on them or to talk about something that's going on currently in our lives because we have this fear of bothering other people. But really, that's what God calls us to do, to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and love one another as we love ourselves. And this is the time that maybe God has slowed us down a little bit to where we can really reach out and begin to build these relationships that, truly matter. The Bible tells us to encourage one another daily. You know, I've often thought about that. There's no way that I can encourage someone in the way that they truly need if I don't know what's going on in their lives or how they need to be encouraged.
That's right. That is absolutely right. And they do need, we do need to have that contact with them. And it's easy for us not to. Again, we think, oh, it's an imposition to call, or I'm too busy, or whatever. Well, now, as you said, this is the time. We do have the time. And maybe this is part of the purpose of this time, that we can start establishing these more meaningful connections with those around us.
Absolutely. I think it's a time that we must be very diligent as well, Charlotte. One of the things that we know that's going on, and I've been cautioning a lot of parents about this, is that, you know, in this time of homeschooling, imagine that. Can you imagine being a parent right now who was used to their kids going to school, and all of a sudden you're the teacher and the principal and the guy? Can you imagine what, I can't even imagine that. But it is funny, though, some of the fun things that are being on the internet, like what was it I read last week? It says, and just like that, prayer and spanking are back in the schools. You know, it's like now that the parents are doing it, it's like things are changing quite a bit. But you know, one of the things that for all of us to realize is that the internet can be our greatest friend during this time, but it can also be our greatest enemy, the trolling for our young people. So, your word for parents who, you know, have been thrown into this position or overwhelmed with their own fears that are going through? How do we, you know, to really stay in the right mindset to know what's going on with our kids on these, as you talked about, with the phones and the iPads?
And, you know, it's a matter of being with, and that's not easy because, you know, we have habits. I think I read recently, you know, it's 3 to 6 hours a day that the average young person spends on the phone, and even people of all ages, 2 to 3 hours a day on social media and the phone and so on. And that's a lot of time where you're exposed to information that can be distorted, that can lead us to feel inadequate about our own lives and so on. So it could be to offer alternatives that are meaningful alternatives during this time. And it can be anything from telling your teenager, hey, let's go take a walk together. Let's go outside together. Or, you know, let's play a game. Or tell me about X, Y, and Z. Or, hey, let's look at some old family photographs. And let me tell you about the personality of your grandfather who you never had a chance to meet. And so on. So it doesn't have to be horribly profound, you know, kinds of things. It can be the little things of life that you do together, showing an interest in them and asking questions like, tell me about what's going on with some of your friends. What are they saying right now? You know, what are you thinking about your life? What do you find through a crisis like this? You know, how's this, what do you think about this? You know, what do you think in terms of what you see happening around you? And to encourage those conversations, to draw them out, to show interest, you know, just to look at them and show some interest. Again, you know, when in public places, I just get amazed sometimes, but you know, particularly in restaurants, when I see, you know, everybody looking at their phone and not even anybody taking initiative to try to engage in a conversation with each other. So maybe this is the time we need to shift that around. Because, again, many times between the overkill of news right now, which can depress and cause anxiety in people, because you turn on the news and there's not a whole lot to celebrate with what we're hearing right now.
Exactly.
Between that and then the distorted information sometimes that comes across social media and even on Facebook, you know, where people look at this and or they think they're inadequate because they compare themselves to other examples that they see. So, you know, trying to limit that and offer meaningful alternatives could be helpful. I know it's challenging to do that. I'm not saying it's easy, but you know, this may be the opportunity to try to make some of those shifts.
Yes, even if we just say, you know, like from 5 to 7 every day or from 10 to 2, whatever it is, small steps would go a long way in this time. And we might find that we really enjoy it. And I know you probably feel the same as I do. If I could, you know, that your children grow up so fast and I think, wow. And I know it's challenging. I know it's hard. But this is what I heard one mom refer to this time as, is a beautiful pause. And she's just, they're just embracing this time, and they're just an incredible family. I actually had them on the radio last week, but they talked about this is a beautiful pause. They know it's not going to last forever. It's a temporary situation, and they're really embracing it. The phones have been put away. The TVs have been shut off. They're homeschooling. They're doing PE together. They're rediscovering. They're having so many of the conversations that you just talked about. You just gave a litany of different ways that parents can have these open-ended questions that can really bring about really good discussions. You know, embrace this moment and see that there can be so much good that comes out of it. Because here's the thing. I think the bottom line is this, Charlotte, is that because fear has no age limit, you know, fear can be crawling into the hearts of our little ones as well. And
sure,
let's talk about that for just a minute, because I think sometimes as adults we're fighting these big wars within ourselves and really forget that the fear is crawling into the lives of our little ones as well and our teenagers.
They do. And, you know, so many of the young, you know, the teenagers and ones younger than that have been raised in a world where they haven't had to deal with the failures and stumbles the same way that perhaps, you know, our generation over age 50 has, perhaps. You know, in school, there were times there were failures, and you knew you were a failure. Everybody didn't win a trophy. Everybody wasn't picked to be on the team. And now it's a little different. So these kids really, it's kind of unfair that they haven't been prepared to understand how you navigate negative things in your life and to understand it doesn't always work out. That, you know, I mean, even to the point that kids get everything they want, you know, I mean, credit cards allow us just to go get whatever they, you know, is needed at the time and without having to wait and struggle and understand sacrifice to get it. So, unfortunately, it has ill-prepared them to deal with situations like this. And that's why they need examples. That's why talking to other people and telling stories about, oh, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, we went through this, or my goodness, during the Depression, you know, I had to drop out of school and go get a job and, you know, help my family, and we didn't have food some nights for dinner. If they start hearing these stories, they realize that, you know, we all go through this. This is a normal part of life to experience challenges and hardships, and we do get through it. And in our case, being Christians and knowing that we're not going through it alone, you know, that there is something beyond us that we can just trust. And even though it's a mystery at times, that we can walk in faith and know there's a purpose to things. It's not just haphazardly thrown around. Again, it's I know it's easier said than done, but I think when they hear that message and they hear examples of how people have gone through it, it can be helpful. And don't underestimate, you know, for older people, not to more mature people, not to underestimate what that storytelling can be, that sharing can mean to younger people, even though they sometimes are like, oh, my goodness, I don't want to hear that stuff from you, Grandma, kind of stuff. It really does have meaning. It really does have value to them.
And not only the wisdom, but the bonding and the relationship. Charlotte, we have a caller, so I'm going to bring the caller online. And thank you. Everything you just said there, I mean, I know that people are just writing and taking notes because you're giving just the foundation of so many great conversations. And I look back at my conversations with my granddad and my grandmom, and I love thinking back, and now I think about all the questions I wish I'd asked. So let's bring on the caller. Caller 3083, welcome to Coffee. Please tell us what your name is and your question.
Thank you. This is Sandy, and I have a question for Dr. Charlotte. I know that my small grandchildren have been looking forward to Easter and spending time with family and all, so obviously this is a very different year that they will not be. So I was wondering, too, they, you know, obviously, you know, there are a lot of people that are looking for things that they can do, you know, to help others. And with your experience with older people that are in isolation, do you think that, like, people in, you know, they're in nursing homes and things, they're obviously, I would think, would be missing family, too, during, you know, holidays and during Holy Week. Do you think that they would be receptive to receiving cards from young children, even though they're children that they don't know, and it would give children that are used to seeing their families an opportunity to share and give, you know,
that is a
from
wonderful,
their hearts? Do you think that's
wonderful,
a good idea?
Wonderful. Wonderful suggestion. And it's wonderful from a variety of standpoints. First of all, for young people or people of all ages, for that matter, to know that they can create something that can have a meaning and a connection to another person is invaluable. And then for the recipient, to those kinds of things mean so much, and particularly to people in nursing homes who, you know, are isolated right now, to have something that was, that is unique, that's been handmade or handwritten, a little note or poem or something like that. You can't begin to understand under any circumstance how useful and important that would be, and particularly now at this time when there is this, you know, people are cut off from their families and society in general and having minimal contact, and to receive something like that and be able to, you know, touch something like that. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful idea, and I certainly support that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sandy. That's a great question.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea.
Mm-hmm. And that's I
know.
Back
to,
oh, I'm okay, sorry. I didn't.
So that was what I was going to ask. Even if they don't know the person, that's, you know, that's an okay thing to do.
Absolutely. And even if they just share that they're thinking about them during this time, and that or their thoughts and prayers are with them, and they make a drawing, for a young child to know that their drawing and their little words can have meaning for somebody, not just for, I mean, that can happen for people of all ages, adults who can create things like that and leave them with nursing homes, go to the door in the nursing home and say these for the residents. Yeah,
okay,
but for kids, too, to have that kind of connection and know that they can serve, that there are ways that they can touch other lives. How powerful, wonderful is that? And how that can open up the door to them serving, you know, in the future, seeing that they can, through a ministry or whatever, serve. Absolutely.
Just to have that feeling. Yeah, thank you, Sandy. Just to have that feeling that they did something that made someone else smile. I mean, you can't buy that kind of thing. So, Charlotte, I had someone who just texted me that wanted me to just ask this question to you. She talks about how during this crisis, and they are in their late 50s, early 60s, that during this crisis that she feels that her husband is becoming more and more out of sorts. She's not sure if it's depression. There's been a real breakdown in communication. So she's wanting to know, what would be your suggestions during this time where it's become very awkward. The marriage is just not, there's no, very little communication. He wants to kind of self-isolate. What would you suggest that she do? Because she's becoming very fearful of what's happening to her marriage right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's understandable. And a time like this, first of all, if people have a tendency to lean toward depression or aggression or whatever, this kind of situation can really exacerbate it and blow it out of the water. So that can happen. You know, and again, it depends on the individual, but trying to, you know, ask open-ended questions that could get him to talk may be helpful. To get him involved in something where he can feel purposeful and useful. Mm-hmm. And it might be a project that you say, can we, you know, do X, Y, and Z, or I'm having trouble with this. Can you help me with this? May be able to break that mold and engage. You know, figuring out a way or suggesting to him to reach out to other people, they have kids or whatever, to say, you know, can you call them and see how they're doing, where he's realizing that he can be purposeful. Because particularly if this is a person who is a man who goes out to work every day and feels important and feels useful And then suddenly, bam, what is he doing home? You know, I mean, some of us who have had serious careers, it's like when we stop, you know, the full-time kind of work and everything we did, it's like, wow, you know, it isn't like there aren't a million projects around this house, but that doesn't ring my bell. What do I do to feel meaningful and purposeful and important? She also could think of reflecting to him, and first of all, to acknowledge that, hey, this is a difficult time, and I know it's got to be tough for you. And, you know, particularly when you're a man who has done X, Y, and Z, and point out to him the appreciation for what he has done and accomplished and done. And, you know, to emphasize that, you know, this is a tough time. It's not going to last forever, but it's tough. And talk about it. You know, let's be open about it. We're here together. We got to weather this together, and we don't want to make it worse for each other. You know, I think we're going to see a lot of couples, though, that are going to have this kind of situation. She needs to protect herself in terms of where she can go and vent, where she can let off steam, where if it seems like he's getting so agitated that there could be, you know, some kind of emotional or physical abuse, to kind of withdraw as she can to give him a chance to just kind of, you know, decompress and settle down so it doesn't. You know, I think we're starting to see some of this abuse, you know, starting to skyrocket. She needs to be careful about that as well.
I love that. And I like what you said. I like everything you said, but I love how you said, you know, find your own outlet, have someone that you can confide in so that someone else is aware of what's going on. I think that's huge right now. So for all of us, find, you know, if you don't have someone that you can confide in, now is the time to make that reconnection with someone. And I think that there's someone for all of us. God has put someone in our path that we can trust, and we can begin a real solid communication during this time. Well, Charlotte, our time is over. I knew it was going to fly by quickly. We have just a couple minutes. And before we end, one thing I do want to be sure that everyone knows how to contact you, because I do know that you have this writing ministry. You are also an incredible writer and author. You've won many awards, I know, in that field of your life. You've started a nonprofit organization. Tell us, or tell our audience, how they could reach you for more information.
Well, you can, through the nonprofit, you can just say charlotte@writinghearts.org. That might be the easiest one.
Okay, perfect.
charlotte@writinghearts.org. And
we'll,
you know, that could be.
And we'll, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I've got a few other emails, so that's probably the easiest one to remember and to use. But it's .org, not .com.
.org, yes, that's right, because it's a nonprofit. And we'll also put this up on our information so that you can reach out to Charlotte. She's an incredible speaker. I have her speak at our events. She's very involved in our coffee ministry and Burns the Blessings and Roses and Rainbows in the ministry. So we have hearts that are so much alike in trying to encourage and equip the people around us, because we all need it. And the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but that's not of a condemnation. That's a reality of where we have been, so that God can meet us right there and take us where he wants to take us. So as we end, Charlotte, we've got just a couple minutes left, but what would be your final word of hope for those who are truly struggling with this fear today? You've given so many wonderful examples, and I love where you said pray, you know, begin by praying. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have a relationship with Christ. What would be a final word? Do you have one of hope to our listeners today?
I would think, you know, to connect with self and others, to use this time to reflect, to appreciate what you've been through and who you are, and even write it down, as I would suggest to people in my ministry that I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, to do, and then to connect with yourself so you see yourself in an honest, full way, and then use this as an opportunity to connect with others, with the Lord, with family members, with neighbors, whatever, and with creative ways of serving. You know, and just to enjoy life. You know, if I can leave with one quote, you know, there was Mother Teresa said, "I have worked for God all my life, and I know I will soon be dancing in heaven. But I wish I had danced more during my time on earth." So, dance, you know, enjoy your life, you know, and get the fullest out of it.
I love that. I love that. The dash, you know, of our life is worthy to be danced upon. So wherever we are, the Bible tells us today is the day that the Lord has given us. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So we can rejoice in the joy of our Lord and the joy of what's going on while we pray and are concerned for our world. The joy of the Lord is our salvation. It is our strength, the Bible tells us. Charlotte, thank you again so much for joining us. You are such a woman of wisdom, and our prayers go with you. Be safe as you're out there in the nursing homes in this virus, as you are spending all your expertise and your wisdom and your heart and your love for them to get them through this very cautious time. Thank you, my friend, so much.
Thank you.
And for our listeners, absolutely. And to our listeners, I want to thank you again for joining us today. Remember always that you serve a God who goes with you. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from His love. So go in that love, stand in the security of His love, knowing that we will get through all this that we are going through. And let's just determine in our heart that as we get through this fear, this cautious time, that we will come out of it stronger and more like Him. Thank you again for joining me. I look forward to seeing you next week on Coffee with Kim. Goodbye, everybody.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.